Well, again, thank you, ladies, for coming. That was a wonderful meal, and we've had a lot of fun tonight. Tonight, we have a guest speaker. He comes all the way from Lee, Maine. I've been in Maine, but I've never been up to where she's at, and I know it's beautiful. Her husband has been the pastor of Lee Baptist Church for over 10 years. But before that, they were Christian school teachers, and there was a little girl in their school named Amy Knowles. And Amy came to our college and heard this, you know, connection, and now her parents are in their church and in the Bickford's church. So it's really neat to see what the Lord's done in the Bickford's life. And Mrs. Bickford is going to speak to us tonight, and she definitely has experience on being a mother. She has 5 children. I hope she tells a little bit about that. She has a very interesting story about having 5 children. And she has 4 girls and 1 boy who comes way later. And 3 of her girls are in college, and a couple of them are graduating soon. She has Heidi, Hildy, Haley, and Holly came to visit us too. So we're all H's. I always get them mixed up all the time too. But ladies, we want to give her our undivided attention. And so, you know, if you can remember to turn off the cell phone now. There's nothing worse than a cell phone going off and everybody looking at you like, that's so embarrassing. So check that, make sure it's on silent or off. And also, we ate a big meal and we drank lemonade, so there could be some issues. That's natural, things happen. But if you have to use the restroom, normally it's the little ones that end up having to use the restroom. And if you have to use the restroom, feel free to go back, but if you, when you come back in, if you could sit in the back, because everybody's eyes naturally go towards you, and then, you know, you come back and they naturally come back up, and it just becomes hard for people to pay attention. So, Mrs. Bickford, can you please come now and speak for us, and I know she will be a blessing.
Wow, there's a lot of people out there. I'm from Maine, like she said. Last night I was talking with Mr. Ramus. Most of you probably know Mr. Ramus. And he said, have you heard how many might be coming tomorrow night? And he said, there's like 700 or so. He said, that must be more than the people, or almost the same amount of people you have in Maine. And I'm... That's what he said. That's really what he said. What he meant was, that must be about the same amount of people from your town in Maine. And he's pretty close, because in Maine we have 842 people in our town. And you realize that's about this amount right here. So I guess you might say I'm in my comfort zone. So I did a little research, so I kind of have an idea of where you all come from. And I found out that the different cities, we have some maybe from Porter. There's about 5,000 in that town. I have in Lake Station, you have like 12,000 in yours. And in Chesterton, about 13,000. So I know a lot of you must be from Chesterton. Then they have Michigan City and Valparaiso and Portage and Maryville. They all have about 35,000. And then there's Gary. You're well represented, about 79,000. So a lot bigger than my town, that's for sure. And then, of course, there's Chicago. Is there anybody here from Chicago? Yeah, okay. Well, that's definitely out of my comfort zone. What I found online, it said 2.72 million in Chicago. So the first time I flew into Chicago, I barely fly anyhow. And I flew into Chicago and got off the plane. And in our state, people get to come into the airport to get you right there when you come off of the plane. And I thought that's probably what happened. But then I realized, no, you just find your way to the outside. And that's where people drive around for a long time waiting for you to get outside. So... that was quite an interesting experience, and I get as you get if you have flown, and you've flown to Chicago, as you come out, you'll get to a security point, and it will say, if you go past this point, you can't return. You know, that's so ominous sounding. But I got to that sign, and I thought, wow, I don't know if I want to go past that, because what if I get lost? So I came back to where I saw a couple security men standing there, or sitting there. They're just sitting there, you know, nonchalantly, like they were definitely in their comfort zone. And I went up to them, and all I said was, I'm from Maine. And he said, wow, I've never seen what a Maine person looks like. So if you had gotten wind of somebody was coming to speak from Maine, maybe that's why you're here. So now you know what a Maine person looks like. So, but we're awfully glad that you're here. And what a production that meal was. That was wonderful. It tasted great, but I love to cook. I love to bake. And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world did they do this? How did they get these bowls of the salad? The chicken was still cold. How did they get that out to hundreds of people? And how did they feed that food to us that tasted so yummy? I heard they worked on things all day, frying. And I'll have to talk to Mrs. Ramos later to find out how she did that and whoever else worked with her. I hear you all like to cook. So, but it was wonderful. Thank you for all your hard work. And just glad to be here tonight. And let's pray before we go any further. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for all these ladies that have come out. We know many are visitors. Some have never been to this church. Maybe they've never been to a church, period. And we're just so glad that they could come out tonight. Thank you so much for those who invited these to come out, and all that work and the love that they showed, and how great your love for us is. And we want to talk about that tonight, and we just ask for your help. Help me to open my mouth wide that you may fill it, and we just pray that for your blessing upon this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When you come into our little town, I like all this room up here. I get to spread out my papers. This is great. And we have a clock, too, by the way. I just noticed that, so you won't be here all night. When you come into our town, there's a sign that says, "Welcome to the village of Lee." That's how small it is. We're called a village. And I've always loved that sound, that sign, how special and how homey it is. In our little town of 842 people, we have had two deaths from the war in Iraq. And that's quite unusual. As a matter of fact, we made the national news that two soldiers in our town died for our country. It was a very difficult moment for our town. Our town is very patriotic. Every May, we have a Memorial Day parade, and it's very little. There's not much to it. We might have one marching band, which is the town, the school's band, and our family marches in the, my husband marches in the band, I mean in the parade with my girls, and they sing. They usually sing a song. He prays. Not too many towns can do that, and we're very thankful for that. Very patriotic. One of the men that used to come to our church, it was his son that was killed in Iraq, and I can remember an interview that he gave about that, and he can remember looking. He didn't know for sure that he didn't know what had happened, but he saw the military drive into his yard and get out, and he watched them come to the door, and he knew at that point why they were there, to give the news that his son had given his life for his country, and how hard that was. But he was a Christian. This man was a Christian, and his son was a Christian. And they will see each other again someday. Even though he lost his son to Iraq, they met the body in a casket, I mean in a hearse, and they brought it to our church and had a memorial service in town. And he will see him alive again someday. That's what I hope for all of you tonight, that you will see, that you will be in heaven someday. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Those of you who got those bookmarks, good for you. I'm sorry that we ran out. When I was told how many we thought might come, I was given an estimate, and we went with that estimate. Well, you did so well visiting, there were a lot more. So I'm sorry that you all don't have one. If you have paper, you can just write it in there, too. We're just going to just do a little bit of writing, not much. There's not much room to write in there. But I'd like to focus on the word hope. Those of you who have a bookmark, you'll see hope on there, or hoping through cancer. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. The word hope means to trust in, to wait for, to look for, to desire something or someone, or to expect something, to hope. So we're going to find a little bit about that. When I was 36 years old, I had had 4 daughters by then, and after my 4th daughter was born, I started feeling some pain in my lower right abdomen. And I like to work out some, and I was exercising, trying to get back into my pre-pregnancy shape. And I just had this pain, didn't feel good, woke me up at night. And a doctor will always say that's a flag if it wakes you up at night. And so I thought, well, I just pulled a muscle from exercising, I'm all right. So my husband kept prodding me a little bit. He said, you really should get it checked out. Okay, I'll get it checked out. So I went to the doctor, and you know how it is. You don't get it solved in one little visit. It goes on and on and on. I had some tests run. And finally, after several tests, several weeks, finally the doctor said, I really think that you have an abscessed appendix that we can't. They would take x-rays. They couldn't see the appendix quite right. I think you have an abscessed appendix, and I think we better take that out. So we went in. Well, that one day we went to the doctor, and he said, I think that's what you have. I think we can do it this afternoon. So we went to the hospital, and I got to see the anesthesiologist, and he's talking to us what's going on, and he called the doctor right there while we're sitting there, and he really gave him what for and said, this woman should not have surgery today. We need to send her home, get her cleaned out, and then bring her back, and then we'll have surgery. Well, the Lord's hand was in that, because this was not a simple surgery. It ended up, I went back the next morning and got ready for surgery, and they took me in, told my husband, you'll see her back in a couple hours. Well, it was 6 hours later, and they went in to try to do it laparoscopically, couldn't do it. They had to make an incision and cut out a mass. Well, I'm kind of strange. I was sharing with the ladies last night, I love winter. I love snow. I think it's the greatest thing. We've had 53 inches of snow in about 11 days lately in Maine, and the weather's been, the temps have been zero or below, and I think it's great. And I get outside and I shovel, and I love it. Well, something else I really love is being in hospitals. Isn't that strange? I love hospitals. I get to be waited on in a hospital. I get my food brought to me right there at the bed. It's just the greatest thing. So, and I had 4 children by then, and I love this. It's just perfect. And I don't have to do laundry or anything. So I'm in the hospital having a nice time recovering from surgery. I was 36. I wasn't waiting for a pathology report. I didn't realize you'd think I'd know by now that I needed to wait for what they took out to find out what was wrong. And one day, a couple days later after the surgery, the doctor came in by himself. My husband wasn't with me. He comes in and he says, oh, how are you doing? And I'm good. I'm doing good. And he said, well, I hate to tell you this, but that mass we took out was cancerous. And he said it was third stage cancer. It was third stage colon cancer that they removed. It wasn't in my family. I wasn't being screened for it. And I was like, what? It was like, those of you who have heard that word cancer, especially that weren't expecting it, it's just a whole new world instantly. and the shock that just gradually settles in, and the things you start thinking, you know, wow, this was March. Am I going to be alive by next Christmas? You know, am I going to see my children's next birthday? Or, you know, all these thoughts that start coming into your head. And it was a scary time, very scary time. So I took that in. I was all alone. He left me. And I waited for my husband to come in 2 hours later, and I told him. And then you might say the healing began at that point. The scar, the wound was made, and we started crying and praying and telling our friends who were praying for us. And it was quite an experience. And those of you who have gone through cancer before, just knowing people are praying, we would sit at home hoping the phone would ring or checking the mail to see if we got a letter of people telling us they were praying for us. After I got home and recovered a little bit and healed, it was time to go back to the doctor for chemotherapy appointment to see what they were going to do. So that's what we did. We went back, and I'm the type that I want to know exactly what's going on with me. I want to know all the details, and I bet everyone of you are like that too. You don't want to miss a thing, what's going on in your body. And boy, that she didn't cut any corners. That doctor told us everything. And by the time we came out of there, we were discouraged. And I remember it was March. It was a windy, damp day. And we sat in the parking lot, and we had never felt like that before. So overwhelmed with what I termed hopelessness. It just seemed so hopeless, what she said. It was, you know, she gave us all these statistics, and we were scared. The next morning, in my devotions, I was scheduled, and let me put that in quotes, scheduled. You try to read things in order, or you have a schedule of reading, and I was scheduled to read this verse. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 42, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, and this is what I read, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And I thought, wow, I went to that doctor's appointment yesterday hoping that they would say something very positive to encourage me and my husband as we go through this. And we didn't come away with that. But the next morning, I read this verse that said, "Don't hope in what doctors say. Hope in me." And that I never forgot that. And that verse has always been so special to me. Maybe some of you are here tonight who are going through a difficult time. Maybe it's not cancer. Maybe it is cancer. With a big group like this, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are going through cancer or some other disease, or just maybe you're going through a very difficult time in your life. It could be dark and uncertain and threatening to you, your life right now, and frightening, and you're looking for some sort of hope to cling to. Well, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, the Bible tells us in Romans 15:13, if you can find Romans 15, chapter, that's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You, as a Christian, already have that hope. You don't have to worry about that. If, however, you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've never realized that you don't have the Lord as Savior, then you don't have that hope. Very sad to say, you don't have that hope that father had, that he would see his son again, because they're going to see each other in heaven. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are immediately promised eternal life in heaven. And if you have never accepted the Lord, I'm afraid to say you don't have that hope. But it's not too late. When I was on my treatment, she told me what I needed, what they were going to do. She said, we're going to try a study drug for you. And we're going to put your name into a computer, and we're going to find out what happens. So they take all these names of people that are going throughout the country, going through the same type of cancer, and they put your name into a computer, and they randomize you, and whether you get the drug or not. Well, I was randomized not to get the drug. So I was getting a placebo. I got regular chemo, but they were watching how I did compared to these people who got this new study drug, Panorex drug. Well, if you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior and you're trusting in your friends and all that to get you through this difficult time, you're receiving like a study drug, a placebo. It's not the real thing, and you can't trust in that, but you can trust in the Lord. So we're going to talk about that. As you look at that bookmark you have, it has six letters, C-A-N-C-E-R, Hoping Through Cancer. We're going to go through each one. Just fill in what I tell you and a verse. If you can squeeze, I know it's a small line, but if you can squeeze in that reference, and later you can go back and perhaps look at that reference and remind yourself of what we went over tonight. If you follow those six tips for each letter, you can discover that hope that only God can give, the hope that will carry you through your life and into eternity in heaven. So as you look at that first letter, the letter C, it is, turn to Romans 10, 13. You're really close if you were in Romans before. Romans chapter 10, just back up. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We've got to have that first right in the letter, in cancer. That's the first letter C. And I want you to write in there, call upon God. C, call upon God. And if you've never received the Lord as your Savior, it tells us right there, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. God makes it simple. He loves you so much, He wants to make that simple for you. As we go to the next letters, we've got to remember that they all hang on that first letter, C. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, then the other ones don't really apply. But if you have, then they do apply. So that's so important. Don't forget, Christ is the most important, and that's what we base the rest on. So we can go on to the next letter, which is A. And for A, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, which isn't back in the middle of your Bible again. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." So on that line, I want you to write, acknowledge him, for A in the word cancer. So acknowledge him. Acknowledge basically means to declare God for who he is and what he does. He exists. We need to realize that. He's there. He loves you. And he is alive and ready to help at our call. So acknowledge God. In every area of your life, whatever it may be, if you're going through a disease or you're going through exams, some of you are in college, going through exams, going through financial difficulties, whatever it may be, God is there. God is real. When I was having that drip, I didn't have a drip, but I would go into the cancer treatments and I would have just an injection. But a lot of the ladies and men that were there were having an IV drip. Perhaps you've gone through dialysis or blood transfusions. I had to have some of those before, and it takes a while to get through that. But you look at that, whatever it is, in the IV bag, and you think, wow, my life is, that's my hope. I'm dependent upon that bag. And it's there, you know. We need to acknowledge God. He's there. He's there to help. He's your hope. He's your life. So acknowledge God. That is your letter A. Let's go on to the next letter. The next letter is N. This one, you're going to write really small, okay? Not forsaking church. Not forsaking church. Psalm 27, you're pretty close. Psalm 27, back up there, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. Says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Make sure that you are not forsaking church. Inside these walls, you'll find encouragement, not just through friends and family, but you will receive instruction from God's word. This is an awesome place to be. This is, I mean, I've heard many men, not many, I've heard several men from this pulpit preaching, and I'd much rather hear a man preach. I'm sorry you have to put up with me, but boy, I love to hear men open God's word and give us truths, and they do it so confidently, and I'm thankful for that. And we just need to not forsake church and listen to what God has to say through God's word. Make sure you can fit that in there. And remember, try to fit that reference in too, Psalm 27:4. No better place to be if you're discouraged. And you know, as a pastor's wife, I get discouraged too. We're not perfect. We're not above problems. We have plenty of problems. But being in church, you might hear just the right verse or something that a friend might say, and no better place to be. No, but I would watch these other people go through cancer, and I'm thinking, how do they do it without being in church and having that lifeline? So don't forget. When I couldn't imagine not going to church, or I couldn't imagine skipping a treatment for that matter. I knew that was my important, you know, I needed to get those treatments. One time, if you remember about, let's see, it was 97 I was receiving treatments. Princess Di was killed in a car crash. Those of you who are old enough to remember that. That's when I was going through chemotherapy. And that week, there was some holiday, and they had to change the treatments to one day later. I ended up at chemotherapy watching the funeral of Princess Di. But I wouldn't have dreamed to skip a treatment. Why would I, or why would we want to skip being in church where it's much more important? So don't forget, not forsaking church. All right, let's go on to the next C. We had one C already. So quickly moving to the next C, and let's turn to 1 Peter 5:7. This is a wonderful little verse. It's tiny, but it says so much. 1 Peter is near the very end of your Bible. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So in that, on that line, cast your care. That's part of your cancer treatment, hoping through cancer, is just casting your care. So write, cast your care, and write in that reference, 1 Peter 5:7. No matter what your care is, personal care, yourself, family, friends, financial, past cares, present, future, no matter what it is, you can cast it upon the Lord, and he'll take care of you. When you go, if any of you have gone through surgery before, you know that at some point you're put under, usually, you're casting your care onto the doctor. You have no control of it at that point. You know, I've had several, since colon cancer, I've had several colonoscopies. And if you've never had one, they're good. You need to get one. If you're due, they're a good checkpoint. But make sure you go under. At least if... One time I was awake and I didn't like it. If you get to go under, it's the greatest thing. You can go to sleep and then you wake up and it's all done. So I'm kind of like casting my care on the doctor while he takes care of me during that point. But we can look at, like, we need to cast our care on God. Take our hands off. Whatever the problem may be, God will take care of it. He created you. He knows everything about you. He knows what's best for you. And we can just take our hands off and let him take control. So cast your care. We only have two more letters to go. I think we're doing pretty well. So for the next letter, which is E, turn to Psalm 35. We're back and forth between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Psalm 35. Verse 18, Psalm 35, verse 18 says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. When I went through the surgery and the diagnosis and the treatments and all the worries that went with it, including financial worries, side effects, oh boy, did I have side effects. I didn't lose my hair, which a lot of people do with certain cancer or chemo treatments, but after I had my first treatment, I had terrible mouth sores and I had diarrhea. This is all women here, we can talk like that, right? It was terrible, and my mouth hurt, my face hurt, it felt like a sunburn, and my mouth was so bad that I went to the doctor and they said, wow, we've never seen a reaction like this to the chemo. Maybe we may have to decide to stop chemo. And I thought, yes, I won't have to take any more chemo. So they did a little check and to see if I could handle any more. And they, yeah, you can handle it more. We're just going to lessen the dosage some. But they also had hair thinning as well. So with that chemo drug, and I did lose some hair, but you know, didn't notice it other than my hairdresser and myself. But other side effects, they were very painful. I found comfort in God's word at that point, and I would journal. I would keep track of verses that really spoke to my heart. And boy, when you're going through a difficult time like that, read God's word like you've never read it before, and it's going to stand out to you, or hymns that you're singing will stand out to you, and God will use that to help and to comfort and to heal. So what we want to write for E is exalt his name. I'd go through all that, and I wanted to praise the Lord for helping me through that time. So exalt his name is what I want you to write for that next to the last letter in cancer. Remember to thank him. I'm the type, I'm very vocal. I'll talk to anybody about what I'm going through, and I would talk to strangers. I'd talk to people at the store as I'm going through the checkout. If something came up and I was able to fit that in, I wanted to tell them how good God was to help them find that, because colon cancer is one of those hidden ones, those quiet ones that usually when it's found, it's too late. They told me when they gave me the diagnosis that it would probably recur again in a certain amount of years, and you know that was scary to hear. And as we went through the healing process, I just wanted to praise the Lord, and I wanted to let everybody know about it. Don't be afraid to tell people when you're going through a difficult time. Don't be afraid to tell your Christian friends to pray for you and to ask prayer. Don't feel you need to hide it, because people like to pray for you. They want to reach out and help you, and it encourages them when they know they can help you. And be sure to thank the Lord for what he's doing. You know, maybe there isn't a healing so much, but the Lord is still watching out for you and taking care of you. Be thankful for him. And don't forget to do it in the congregation so people can hear how good God is. Finally, we're on to letter R. Just a couple pages from where we are. We don't have to go too far. Psalm 37. This was my mom's. My mom is in heaven right now. Cancer took her. Psalm 37, verse 7. Says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. For us as women, it's not an easy thing to do to rest. When I had a foot injury one time, the doctor said to me, you need to be non-weight bearing. Well, those of you who are mothers know that's impossible. You can't be a mother and be non-weight bearing unless you're strapped down. And I wasn't, so I kept on moving and I did more damage, so I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, we need to rest in the Lord and let Him, like I had said earlier, let Him take care and let Him handle the problems. We can't do it as good as He can. Let Him do it and rest, spiritually resting as well. There's a hymn that I really love, and I wanted to share the story with you. The name of the hymn is Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. How many of you are familiar with Let the Lower Lights Be Burning? Okay, good. It's a beautiful song. And I'm going to read part of this to you because I don't want to miss anything important. And it's kind of close by to you. Where this is, you know, the story that went with this. Philip Bliss wrote this song. He also wrote, I believe he wrote the words to it as well, in My Soul, or he wrote the music, the words. He went through some difficult times. He wrote this one as well. And he would sit in a congregation when D.L. Moody, who is an evangelist, was preaching, and he would be moved by something that was... He traveled with this evangelist, and he'd listen, and the evangelist would give an illustration, and he would think, wow, okay, I think I could write a song about that. And that's exactly what he did, because D.L. Moody wrote, gave this illustration that I'm going to read to you, and Philip Bliss wrote this song. So here's just a little bit of the story. The story of the lower lights is familiar. Years ago, at the harbor in Cleveland, Ohio, so that's not too far from you compared to here from Maine, there were two lights, one on either side of the bay, called the upper and the lower lights. So if you can picture this, a bay where a ship would come in and they needed to get to shore, they had the upper light and the lower light. So those were important. To make a safe entry into the harbor, the incoming ships must see both lights. One wild, dangerous, stormy night, a steamer was groping through the darkness, looking for the harbor. The captain and the pilot peered out into the darkness. And the pilot said, "Do you see the lights?" "No, I don't see the lights," was the anxious reply. And then, "There it is, I see the light. But where's the other light?" "I see the upper lights, but where are the lower lights?" And that was so important to see both so they could make it through the harbor. They had passed the lower lights and were too late to turn around in that raging storm, and they crashed upon the rocks and they sank. Very few escaped, and most of the unfortunate passengers perished in a watery grave. Why did they perish? The lower lights had gone out. The upper lights were still lit, but the lower lights had failed. The upper light is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to put this into the spiritual picture, the upper light is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always going to be there. The lower lights are us as Christians. And if those lower lights go out, then it can't be negotiated to get to that harbor. And I'm thinking of you as Christian ladies who have invited these other ladies that may not be Christians. You are the lower lights. And you that are here that have never accepted the Lord as your Savior, you may not realize it, but you are out on that stormy sea. And you're looking for those lights, both lights. And these friends that have invited you and brought you tonight, they're your lower lights, and you're looking to them. And they want you to be safe in that harbor. And that's why they've invited you here tonight. And we're so glad, again, that you've come. And I want to read the words to that song. Some of the song. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights upon the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. I like that story. So again, so glad you could come tonight. I want to close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be here. We thank you so much for your word and the truths that are there. So much for us to learn and to grasp. But I pray that something that we've heard tonight will just stick in our minds and we'll think about that. And I pray that if there's any here tonight who've never accepted you as their Savior and they may be floundering in that stormy sea, pray that they would find the light tonight and come to shore and have eternity in heaven to look forward to someday. We thank you so much for what you've done and what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.